And I know last week we were talking about how the believer goes through trials and tribulation. We talked about how God uses our trials and our difficulties. And in those difficulties, it actually shows us if our faith in Christ is true, if it's if we really depend on the Lord, right? And so it's when we go through difficulties, it's like irritations, because it irritates us. We go through difficulties, but it's also producing in us sanctification, and it's revealing things in our lives that need to be dealt with. I don't know, I didn't have this. 2 Timothy 3, I kind of want to, 2 Timothy chapter 3. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1-5 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." I think that's the time that we are kind of living in right now. We see this even in the body of Christ. We see how people are not really lovers of God. And my prayer is like, when we go through difficulty, God's revealing in our lives. I'll talk slower so Anna can translate. And so when we go through difficulty, God is revealing stuff in our lives to really reveal where our love is. And at times, when we go through difficulty, the believer wants to retreat. Right? When you go through difficulty, sometimes you have this tendency of wanting to retreat, hide out in your safe place. But we have to engage evil as a believer. We're called to engage evil, not hide from it. We're called to be light of this world. We're supposed to stand up for what is true, what is holy, what is righteous. So we have no option but to stand up to what is holy, for what is holy. That means we need to be involved in this world. Right? We're not supposed to hide out. We're supposed to be involved in our schools. We're supposed to be involved in our community. We're supposed to be involved in government. Because if we're not, we're just hiding out in our safe places. Does that make sense? We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be involved in this world. We're supposed to be involved. So everyone struggles from time to time. Shutting down. Just want to unplug from life. You know, life can feel like, I don't think I could do this anymore. But God is the one who enables you to live this life. You know, this world is groaning. And now as we go into Romans 8:23, we're going to be talking about how we ourselves are groaning. We talked about last week how the world of creation is groaning. It's groaning because it has this desire to see the Lord, desire to see what how this world was should have been. Well, it was created perfect, holy. Then sin came into the world, and it caused all the suffering and pain that we face. Misery. So the world is groaning. We ourselves are groaning. Because we have, as a believer, if you're a believer, you have this groaning in you to be with the Lord. Does that make sense? We shouldn't be happy in this world. This world should not satisfy our needs. Because if it is, we should ask, is like, Lord, do I desire more of you and less of this world? The Lord should be the one satisfying you. The Lord has placed us in this world to be his hands and his feet, to be doers of his word, praying for people, come alongside people, to share the truth of the gospel, where the gospel is the only hope that anybody can have. The gospel is truly what sets people free. So in Romans 8, it's a remarkable chapter because it's for the believer. Paul teaches the believer theology of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because in Romans 8, it talks about the Holy Spirit 23 times. Holy Spirit is very important to the believer. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot face what we go through every day. So, without the Holy Spirit, a believer is not able to live a life that we're called and currently live. And the Holy Spirit helps the sanctification process that takes part in our mortal bodies. So the experience of salvation begins with regeneration of the soul. And then justification comes in, continues with sanctification, and is filled with glorification. In sanctification, we learn to be imitators of God. And so Ephesians 5, 1-4, who had that one? Ephesians 5, verses 1-4. And it's on the forehead, too.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving.
This is a process as a believer we see. The Lord doesn't want those things to be fruit of our life. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of those things. So Ephesians 4, 21-24. It's going to be on the... Who has Ephesians 4?
If so that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Father, I just pray that this morning as we read your word, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work in us. And Lord, that we be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we will put off the things that are contrary to your word. And Lord, that you will stir in us a love, a hunger, a desire for you more and more. That you be truly our first love. Lord, help us to be teachable. Lord, help us to apply your word. Help us, Lord, to be your disciples. We want to know more of you. And Lord, we thank you that you truly set us free. So, Lord, Father, I pray that we have a teachable spirit today. In Jesus' name. So it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who enables us, who guides us, empowers us, strengthens us, who assures us, who teaches us, who reminds us, who gives us eternal hope. Without the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. We do something that is contrary to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. So we repent. When we fall short, we ask for forgiveness. It's like, Lord, I desire to do your will. If we are a follower of Christ, there was justification. This was a past event. Where you were made right with God Almighty, you were reconciled to the Father by faith alone, not by works. So Ephesians 2, it's not by works. It's by the working of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this. Not by anything you did, but because you repented. By recognizing you need a Savior. And you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. And as we placed our faith and trust in Christ, who is our atoning sacrifice, who paid for our sin at the cross, to be redeemed, to be made holy. We're made holy, and we are continuing to be made holy. You're not perfect yet. He is the one who's perfecting you as you yield to the Holy Spirit. At the moment you were given a permanent position in Christ, when you give your life to Christ, you have a permanent foundation in Christ. You're now His. So do we have assurance that we are His today? Because you cannot go through this life hoping that you're saved, but you should know that you are saved. Because you have repented, confessed, and put your faith in Christ alone. Jesus said, if you believe in me, is our faith in Christ. You know, at the moment you were given a permanent position up in Christ, you are now able to come boldly before the throne of God. We have free access now to the Father because you have been adopted as a son and a daughter of Christ. We have been forever declared judicially. So when a judge, you think of God as a judge, and he made, because of Jesus' atoning sacrifice, he sees you and I now holy, without blame or spot. He sees you perfect because of Christ. Even though we sin, even though we fall short, because of Jesus' atoning sacrifice, you are judicially made right with God. That makes sense. Right? Do not go by your feelings. Because we can condemn ourselves, we can feel guilty about it. But we have to remember, we are justified because of Christ. We are holy and are being made holy. We are being sanctified. We have been redeemed. So as we read Romans 8, 23-27, so Romans 8:23 says, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption. Well, we already been adopted, but our adoption is not completed yet. It's going to be completed when we get to be in heaven. You're adopted, but your adoption is not complete yet. It might sound counterintuitive, or but the redemption of your body, for we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groans, which not can be uttered. That's not speaking in tongues. That's the Holy Spirit interceding for you. It's not you speaking in tongues. It's the Holy Spirit interceding for you to God on your behalf. Right? He is the one who's interceding for you. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit's interceding for you right now. Even though you have these groans, these longings that nobody else can satisfy. You don't know how to say it, but you have this long groan that you know this world is not yours. This world is not our home. We are just visitors. We groan and long for the kingdom. Our Father's kingdom. That's what we long for. And do we long for the kingdom of God? Do we desire to see the kingdom of God to be operating? And it's that, when I say that, you know, do we want to be really sharing the truth of the gospel here on earth to people that don't know Christ? So we are experiencing a little bit of the kingdom right now. We only experience a little bit of God right now. Not to the measure that we are going to exhibit or experience with God. Like when we get to heaven, we're going to be like, wow, this is amazing. I've always wanted to see this. I've always wanted to experience the Lord more and more. Think about the angels that are going around and they're learning something about God every single day. We don't even, I hope that we have this longing, this desire to know our Heavenly Father. If you're a child of God, I pray that to be your will, your desire to know Him intimately and personally. To put off this world that really drags you back and takes you away from the Father's will, which is taking you away further from the kingdom, because it entangles you and it holds you back. This is not their best life now. We long for the best life, eternal life with our Savior, with our Redeemer, with who is our true hope, who is our everything. This world, as we are believers, we should become more dissatisfied with this world. Because we see the corruption, we see the evilness, and the sin that plagues this world, but yet we still pray for this world. We still pray for the lost. We still pray for our government. We still be active. But there's this groaning in us. Oh, hopefully I make any sense. You have this longing this groaning deep inside that this world is not everything it makes out to be. It doesn't truly give you hope. It doesn't truly satisfy you. It does not truly give you peace and joy. Even though you might experience momentary joy and peace, it doesn't give you... It's like when you become a believer, right? Before you come to Christ, you are in everything else, trying to satisfy your needs. I want to feel happy by doing this, and I did this. I drank, I did drugs, or momentary things that try to bring satisfaction. Right? But when you give your life to Christ, He truly satisfies you. He truly makes you complete and whole. That's who we serve. He makes us complete and whole. He's our everything. He's our breath. It's the one that we ought to be longing for. What verse were we on? Okay. So Paul expressing this long groaning through creation. We ourselves groan because we are longing to be with our Lord and Savior. We groan because we long to be in heaven, which is our home. And the Holy Spirit groans within us. Who has Matthew 6:21?
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. Elijah. Where is your heart today? Where's my heart today? Is my heart longing for the kingdom? So as a child of God, we groan with expectation of redemption. We feel and experience and deal with the weight, with the consequences of sin in this world. We experience groanings in the physical body. You know, when you get older, you start feeling more, oh, body is falling apart. You're groaning like, oh my goodness. Right? But think of it, when these bodies are redeemed, no more pain. These bodies are fading. We experience groanings in the physical body, however we groan spiritually to be with the Lord. This world should be more unsatisfying as we grow, hopefully, and long for redemption. Our souls have been redeemed. Right? And there's a process. So if your souls are redeemed, what's left there to be redeemed? Get a new body. And that's what's not been redeemed yet. Groaning is a normal part of the Christian's life. It's also a gift. Groaning draws us into Christ on his unfolding story of redemption. We discover that groaning is by means which God's children realize and share in Christ's glory. We groan because the Holy Spirit came and took up residence in our hearts. And that's why we're groaning. There's a new sheriff in town. There's a new sheriff in your heart. Before you were a believer, you had nobody. You could do whatever you want. You live your life how you wanted, do what you felt was nice. But now when you surrender your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit now lives within you. So we cannot live however we feel like it. We cannot live however I want to live. So there's a conflict. Right? there's a conflict in your life. So Psalm 97, verse 9. Did I put that on? So Psalm 97, verse 9 to 12 says, "For you, O Lord, are the most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all the gods. You who love the Lord hate evil." If you're a child of God, we say that we love the Lord, we should hate evil. As we walk and continue walking and being sanctified, we should start hating sin and evil more and more and more and more every single day. Right? Then you know that you're truly a child of God, because you should be hating sin. You should be hating the evil that's in this world. The atrocities that we see every single day actually be causing such holy anger of the innocent children that are aborted every single day. The of all the atrocities of human trafficking that happen every single day. That should stir you in you to say, "Lord, help us." He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is a soul for the righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart. When we begin to experience a good and healthy groaning, throw off the sin that easily entangles us, it's important that our spiritual growth, that we begin to discern the difference between conviction and condemnation. There's a difference. So there are a number of voices that are trying to compete for your attention. It's like, what voice do I want to listen to today? And I think of this one skillet song. Anyways, there's the Skillet song. It's the voice in my head, but it just, there are a number. So the Holy Spirit who lives within you, who sealed you, who illuminates the Word of God, he is speaking to you. Right? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? And we have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ who help us grow. So godly people come alongside us and encourage us and help us through our walk and our journey. Do we allow them to speak into our lives? We also have to contend against our own stinking flesh. The old man, right? So do we listen to the voice of the old man, the old flesh? It's easy to, because we have lived with it for so long. We hear voices of unbelievers. The devil whispers in your ear, "Is God's word true today?" He'll whisper, "Does God's word actually say that? Does God's word actually mean that?" He wants to place doubt in your mind, draw you away. Jesus said, "His sheep now hear his voice, and they follow him." So conviction, the Bible says, is godly sorrow. Do we have godly sorrow when we fall short? Because it will lead you to repentance. Conviction will bring you to the truth. Condemnation makes you doubt the Word of God. Condemnation is always characterized by lies. Conviction leads you closer to Christ. Condemnation leads you away from Christ. Conviction brings you peace and clarity. When you're condemned, it brings you confusion and doubt. Conviction picks you up and moves you forward. When you're being condemned, it tears you down and mocks you. And you ever notice when you are being mocked, you start calling yourself names. You put yourself down. You're speaking lies over yourself. Right? The devil wants you to be walking. He wants you to feel condemned. And you think, well, what kind of believer am I? You know, Paul even says, you know, what did Paul say? Well, wretched man I am. I have this will and desire to do what God's will is, but I do the opposite. That's not word for word, but it's just, right? We fall short. Romans 8:1, it says, there's now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, there's now no condemnation. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction to draw you closer back to the Lord. When you feel condemned, it lingers and holds you captive. It traps you. And you're like, there's no way out of this. Yes, there is. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The truth of God sets you free. And we're going to read John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you should know the truth. And what's going to happen? The truth shall make you free. Right? Are we abiding in the Word of God? If we aren't, repent. Get right with God. When we abide in Him, we are definitely going to know the truth. And by knowing His truth, it will set us free. As we grow in maturity as a believer, we look now forward and long for our redemption. We groan and have expectation to receive our immortal, incorruptible body. We get a transformed body. So 1 John 3:2. Who has 1 John 3:2?
Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see as He is.
1 Corinthians 15:50-52 says, and this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we need to be born again. We need to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's the time of the rapture. The dead will rise first, incorruptible, and those who are still are, because a believer doesn't die, right? We are changed. If we are, just think of it. If Christ takes us right now, we'd be changed in a blink of an eye with incorruptible bodies. No more pains, no more suffering, no more anything that we are going through. This is the longing and groaning that we have. completed. Right? We're thinking about this. Philippians 1:6.
And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
So we're having confidence that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. Titus 3, verse 4 to 8. Go ahead, Daniel. So the first fruits of the Holy Spirit begins to produce in you the fruit of the Spirit. Paul's telling us that the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer is a guarantee, God's guarantee, of the fullness of the harvest of redemption. Also pointing to the harvest of our future glorification. We'll become like God with the glorified bodies. Different, transformed, praising him, being satisfied fully with him. You know, the Holy Spirit has been given to the believer as a seal of ownership, deposit of God's legal claim upon his child. So as we are his, he has ownership of us. Romans 8:16. It says, and the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. That was the capital S. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. That we are God's children. So verse 25, it says, But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Have you ever been on a holiday, been saying, well, I have a holiday coming up, right? You have a holiday, and what do you usually get? You're usually has anticipation. And you, that's all you can think about is this holiday or this thing that you're going to do next week or in 2 months, right? We anticipate, we eagerly wait until that date comes. It's the same thing, we eagerly wait for the return of Christ. To be active, not just be hiding out in our comfy chairs, but actively involved. We wait patiently with anticipation, walking out perseverance, consistently with the Lord. Who has 1 Kings 8?
That he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes and his judgments that which he commanded our fathers.
1 Chronicles 28:9 says, for as you, my son Solomon, know the God of our father and serve him with loyal heart. I could even think of us. put your name in there. It's like, know that you're know the God of your fathers, serve Him with a loyal heart, with unfailing with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He'll cast you off forever. Hebrews 4:12-16 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. He knows our hearts. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. Because verse 26, it groans. The Holy Spirit groans for you, interceding for you, praying for you. Because that's why you don't know. I know there's different theologies around this verse, right? But if you look at it, who is groaning? It says the Holy Spirit is groaning. Speaking of words that you cannot pronounce. We don't understand it. It's the Holy Spirit living within you, praying to God the Father on your behalf. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on. He's praying for you, interceding for you. You know, Jesus is interceding for you right now. Hebrews 7:25, it says, Jesus, I don't even think I even have that up there. So 7:25. Chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is making intercession for you. The Holy Spirit is growing, interceding for you. Jude 24. Sorry, I don't have these up. Jude 24, it says this, it says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Who is able to keep you from stumbling? And to present you, Jesus presents you faultless. Do you know that? Jesus is interceding for you right now and presenting you faultless before the presence of His glory. To who? To the Father. He is presenting you right now. God sees you through Christ. Christ stands in front of you. And all that God the Father can see is Christ. Because Jesus is your holiness. He is your righteousness. He is your everything. So He is the one who is, Jesus is presenting you before the Father with great joy, interceding for you. That's what we have. We have the Holy Spirit interceding for us. We have Jesus Christ interceding for us. The Trinity is praying for you, wanting you to grow, wanting you to have this longing for God the Father, desiring you to pray, to have this authentic, ongoing hunger that makes you want more and more and more of the Lord. Prayer stirs up a hunger for the Lord. Prayer creates a desire for the Lord. Prayer creates a dependence upon the Lord. which creates assured hope, security, intimacy with God. Those who are born again have an intimate relationship with God Almighty. This is why we're groaning. We have this intimacy which is not going to be satisfied until we see Him face to face. I think I'll stop there today. We'll pick up on verse 26 next week. It should be an interesting one. But we see how the Holy Spirit is interceding. He's sealed you. He's sanctifying you. He's directing you. Are we yielding today? If we're not, we could ask for forgiveness. Father, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives within us, that has sealed us for the day of redemption. Lord, I pray that you would give us this longing for your kingdom to come, the longing for us to have to see you face to face, to have this transformed, imperishable body, Lord, that it has not been redeemed yet. Lord, we long to be with you. See you face to face. Lord, we desire that your will be truly done in our lives as we surrender to you, knowing that we are been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. To do your will, Lord, give us a love and a passion for the people of this world, to see people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, as we surrender more and more to you, as we pray, Father, that and have communication with you, Lord, that we desire to see your will be done here on earth. In Jesus' name.
Let's take this time to pray. Let's take this time and give the Holy Spirit opportunity to just really minister to your hearts. And seek prayer if you need. We're here for you. And if maybe you're uncomfortable with coming up to the front, please don't hesitate to seek prayer afterwards. Okay? Jesus. Jesus. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. And all to Jesus I surrender. All to you I freely give. Oh, I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will live. Oh, all to Jesus I surrender. All to you I freely give. Oh, I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will live. Deserve greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of my fame. Empty handed, I rejoice. Yes, you deserve greater glory. Joy I sing. By your love I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. One more time. You deserve the greater glory. Oh, no, come and lift my voice to the King. Handed I rejoice. Yes, you deserve the greater glory. No, overcome a joy I sing. By your love I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. All to Jesus. And all to Jesus I surrender. All to you I freely give. Oh, I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will live. All to Jesus I surrender. All to you I freely give. Oh, I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will live. In your presence I will live. For you are my God, whatever the cost, Jesus, oh Jesus. Thank you. If we can all just close our eyes, because we're going to do something a little bit different. And if you need prayer right now, please just raise your hand and keep it raised. And we'll just pray for you right now. Father, we just thank you, God, in the most sincere way that we know how, that we are a part of your family. That you now give us this amazing new life. And that you supply us with everything that we need to live this life. And Father, for those that are out there that are hindered and blocked by the garbage from the enemy, in Jesus' name, we are just surrendering that to you, rejecting that, and receiving your forgiveness and your life and your truth. And for anyone out there who is not yet receive the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, I hope that you feel the invitation, that you heard the invitation, that there is a purpose for your life, there is forgiveness for your life, and you can receive a new life here on this earth and ever after. Lord, you deserve all the praise and the glory. And as we go off to the activities that we have lined up for the day, God, I just pray, Lord, that we still remain sensitive and fully aware of your presence with us wherever we go. And that our conversations would be directed by the Holy Spirit, and that we would be seeing you in action in our lives and those around us, and that we would go forth in boldness and in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.